Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Conference USA Report podcast, and welcome to it. Welcome to it. It's another season of college football, the 150th year. Everybody has the patches on. Conference USA is celebrating 25 years. We're all excited, and we are all disappointed to see everybody kind of fall flat upon their faces this week in the league. But good times, right? Georgia State beating Tennessee is fun. College football is still fun, even if Conference USA is maybe not great. And, you know, we all follow this league. This site covers this league as best it can. And, you know, it's a little disappointing. It's more fun when everybody's blowing everybody out. And, you know, like, it's kind of hilarious that Conference USA holds the little trophy and says, look at us, we beat everybody in the bowl. We had the bowl win or whatever, you know, best, most number of wins in the bowls, whatever, best percentage, I forget. I always have contended that that is not super impressive or important, but the non-conference stuff is what matters, right? So where everybody's paying attention. During the holidays or in bowl season, you're kind of watching, but you're mostly half watching. The people that care about college football watch in August and September, and they care about who you beat then, right? People still talk about North Texas beating Arkansas. They still talk about, a few years ago, Houston beating Oklahoma, and they forget about what happened to Houston the rest of that season. It was not good, and they ended up losing to Navy and whatever. People care about the beginning of the season. So, it was not good to see Ohio State just completely and thoroughly dominate Florida Atlantic, presumably one of the contenders, right, for the Conference USA East. It was not good to see FIU get stomped upon by Tulane, 42-14 in that game. But it was nice to see, say, like, North Texas get a win, UAB squeak out a victory, but et cetera, et cetera. We'll go through all of that right now. I will say up front, I didn't see all of the games. This is the toughest time to cover this this league because there are so many games. There are 14 games, and that's a lot of college football to watch or to cover in a timely amount of time, right? It's easier to do. Sorry, I'm picking up. I'm doing some Jim Rome right now. It's easier to watch and to cover when, you know, it's all conference games and, you know, there's like four, five, six games, right? A couple teams on bye weeks, but 14, it's a lot of games. So I think I missed most of the Marshall game because they seem to be handling things pretty well. I watched a little bit of it and almost all of the Alcorn State at Southern Miss game. And that was not through any fault of my own. I was trying to watch it, ESPN Plus. Did not let me. Just like they didn't let me watch most of the UTEP game against Houston Baptist. I think he was trying to preserve me and say, look, buddy, you've been watching a lot of college football. Maybe go outside, go for a walk, right? So let's go through it. Gardner Webb at Charlotte. Pretty impressive win for the 49ers in the debut of head coach Will Healy. 49-28 winners were the 49ers. Benny LeMay had a nice first half. It was like 35-14 and a half or something like that, and then they kind of traded touchdowns the rest of the way. I think Charlotte was favored pretty heavily in this game by like 20 or so. I'm not super impressed about this game just simply for the fact that it's not impressive, right? And I think there are a number of Charlotte fans, I think one in particular, that say that I have something out for Charlotte. Believe you me, I don't. I'm nonplussed about them. I thought last year they won more games than I thought they were going to win, given the state of the quarterback, the coach, Brad Lambert, etc. But they also didn't pick up a whole lot of really impressive wins. I mean, beating a terrible Western Kentucky, who is terrible and bad, not impressive. And I think even hanging with Tennessee, not so impressive, and especially when you look at Tennessee right now, right? They get beat by Georgia State on the day. So, look, I don't hate Charlotte. I think they're going to go good places simply for the fact that Will Healy is a good coach and well-liked and well-respected, and he's bringing enthusiasm, and they have some talented guys on their team. So they're going to win a couple of games this season, but they're not going to be a major factor, I don't think, in the outcome of the East Division. And that's not anything, you know, to get upset about. I think it's just kind of what that deal is. Turning that program in a positive direction and building some of the momentum longer term, that is the goal. And, you know, this season getting some nice wins and some things to build on, that's the way to do it. So it was a good win for them because it was that thing, right? You see the enthusiasm. Well, Healy's taking his shirt off, right? North Carolina doing that stuff. That's good. That's good for the program. It's a viral moment. Stuff that modern coaches have to do nowadays, right? Contrast that, you know, good win with a bad win by UAB. Beat Alabama State 24-19. You know, I think UAB allowed a kickoff return in this one. Or was it the UAB scored the kickoff return? I am now running everything together. I will say, without checking, I'm not going to go check it because I just can't. I ain't got the time. I watched a lot of this game. It was like 13-14 at the end of the first quarter. UAB looked like they were going to pull away. They looked in control for a little bit, but Alabama State kept bringing something back. And it was it ended up coming down to the wire. UAB just basically held on thanks to their defense. And what is like a drop pass ended up being the interception that kind of won things. But on the one hand, you're like, well, we won in a very UAB way, right? Defense, special teams, took care of business, right? A defense leading the way. Power running game kind of helped run the clock down so that Alabama State only had the one drive late in the game instead of maybe two opportunities at it. But still, Alabama State, however good you think they might be, are an FCS team, and UAB are the defending champions. So, not really a good look. And if you have to do, but you don't understand the Alabama State, that's not, no, nobody wants to hear that. There are 120, 130 college football teams, and nobody really has time to get into anything beyond the headline when it comes to Conference USA. You look at them, say 24-19 against the FCS team, that is the headline, right? Not, well, you know, Alabama State is actually quite a good team, right? When you look at it, and you dip, nobody cares. Nobody cares. So these non-conference games are about statement wins, making a name for the conference, and showing out, right? Look how good we are. You should come watch us play each other because look at us whooping up on everybody else, right? You don't want, well, you know, it was a tough game against this. Nobody cares, right? UAB is held to a little bit of a higher standard in this regard because they're defending champs, right? League champ should be going out and impressing. League contenders should be going out and impressing. So that leads me into FIU. 42-14 losers. Losers. They got whooped. Did not look competitive at all. James Morgan was under fire all day. Also, he looked a shadow of his self from last year, where he was, just really good, and made the case that he was the best quarterback that year in Conference USA. 42-14. I don't really want to get into this more than anything, but the defense, the run game could not stop anybody. I know that was a concern, but they looked bad. Just bad all across the board. It was, 28-7 at halftime. Score a touchdown in the third quarter. Trying to make it competitive, but nothing after that. Never really got into this game. Bad look for FIU, who were supposed to be contenders. Again, one of the things that I think I mentioned about FIU was that they win all those other games, but when it comes down to a game that they need to win, like, hey, this is going to be a challenge here. You win this, and then, you know, you can do some things, right? You win this, you go to the league title game. Nope. They fall flat in the face. They haven't been beaten FAU. And then this is a game, look, I'm not even saying they should have won, but you got to be competitive in this one, right? This looks like Conference USA is not anything to even think about because that was a bad, bad loss. So there you go. FIU looking bad. UAB looking slightly better. Slightly better, but, you know, not much better. Here's the other thing about UAB, though, is that they had a bad loss last year, and they still dominated the league, right? I'm not saying they're not going to dominate the league. I'm saying that they don't make the league look that good, right, to everybody else, and that's the case. It doesn't matter what happens in bowl games because that's a different time. People care about right now, right? If Conference USA came out of this with a sterling, sparkling record, then people are going to say, well, maybe I should check out that Conference USA football. Man, that's some good football being played over there. Did you see what they did to XYZ? Right now, you're just thinking, well, they look like they're barely FCS. Moving on, to an FCS team that did beat one of the Conference USA squads. Central Arkansas did whoop up on Western Kentucky. And I say whoop up on, they won by 7, but they scored 21 in the fourth quarter. Western Kentucky looked good under Clay Helton. Jumped out 14-0, looked nice, throwing touchdown passes, offense moving. You're like, hey, look, it's not the Western Kentucky of old where they couldn't do anything offensively. Maybe it was all Jeff Brohm. They looked good, but Central Arkansas scored 2 touchdowns in the second quarter, made it, was it 21-14? You figured, eh, whatever, Western Kentucky will talk about it, adjust, come out, finish strong, that'll be the game. And it looked like that. They scored a touchdown in the third, 28-14, okay, everything's right in the world. But no, a couple of bad plays, allowed some touchdowns, some big plays in the secondary, and you come up with a loss. It was ugly to see. You never want to need a drive in the final seconds against a team when you're at home. It's 2 years in a row that Western Kentucky loses to an FCS squad. Not the best start, but we'll give them some credit and some benefit of the doubt because it's a new team, you know, et cetera, all that good stuff. You know, even the great Nick Saban lost to ULM, right, in his first year at Alabama before he's won, like, all the national championships in a row. So, there you go. Not a good look, though, right? Understandable, not a good look. I get it. I don't want to see it, though. Army beating Rice in a good loss, right? One of those moral victories. Army won 14-7 in a game that took approximately, like, 15 minutes long to play, right? Because they both were running. I think Army had a game winning, like, 18-play drive. Very Army, classic Army. Fourth quarter. It looked like I was watching something out of 1936. Everybody just running all the time. Pass or verse, right? It was a surprise. Whoa, look at this guy doing a forward pass. Rice availed themselves nicely. They had a chance to tie it. They were driving well down the stretch. Was it Willie Green? Wiley Green? I don't know how to pronounce his first name, actually. He hit his target. The guy got the pass was defensed well by the defensive back. Hey, Army won 10 games and they won 11 games last year. They're a good team. They're a good program now. Competing with them is competing with one of the best the G5 has to offer. And this is not a bad showing for Rice. Because I think, you know, Rice is, they started well last year. I think they played Houston pretty well for a little bit. And they kind of fell off, right? Injuries, just poor performance, whatever. So I'm a little wary in saying, hey, look out for Rice. They're going to be really good this season. But they might. Right, they might have put it together. They got a couple of grad transfers out there along the line, filling in some holes that they had, getting some guys in that fit the program mentality. And it could be just people say, like, yeah, intellectual brutality. What does it look like? And then they see it. They say, okay, I see what you're trying to do. I'm going to go out there and do it. They're lining up with, like, 3 tight ends and, you know, power running, doing some down blocks, some power G runs. It's good. It's nice to see. Very old school. And I think in this conference, it's going to be the kind of changeup that allows them some success. We saw what UAB did to some teams, right? You got Rice doing something similar. A few years ago when UTEP was doing it, you know, they put a running back in the NFL. And, you know, they made some noise, won some games. It's hard to defend when it's done right. And, you know, if you pair that with a good defense, you can steal some games from some good teams. Moving on to, that was a Friday game, right, to the games played on the Saturday, as they should be played on. Let's start with the league's best teams, right? We'll start with North Texas, 51-31 winners over Abilene Christian. At first glance, this looks like, oh, did they struggle? That defense pretty bad? Yes and no, right? It was 31-10 at halftime. The defense kind of took their foot off the glass, the gas, not glass, but maybe they did that too. They did something wrong because they got outscored 17-13 in the second half. Nothing amazing. The game was never in doubt. It was not like, oh, bring Mason Fine back in, although they did leave him in a tad too long, I thought. But pretty normal game for Mason Fine, I think normal is 383 yards, four touchdowns. He threw an interception, but that was in the first half. They took care of business. The defense is struggling because they have a lot of new faces. And I think that's the concern if you're a North Texas fan, and that is the opportunity if you're the rest of the West Division, right? Best quarterback in the league has a vulnerability, and that is the defense, that he has to probably be perfect for this team to beat everybody down the stretch. But North Texas looks pretty formidable, although that was against an Abilene Christian team. Hey, 51 points. Yeah, their highest scoring team. Just barely beating out Charlotte. Surprise, surprise, right? Who else played? Big game. Michigan against Middle Tennessee, right? Hosting Middle Tennessee. And Texas hosting one of the league's best in Louisiana Tech. Number 7 Michigan, number 10 Texas. Both games are on at the same time. One was on Longhorn Network, one was on Big Ten Network. So you are forgiven if you didn't watch both of these games. First half for Middle Tennessee was better than the first half for Louisiana Tech. Texas was up 24-0 at halftime, and Michigan was up, 27-14. Middle Tennessee looked spry. They went up 7-0. I think they were up 7-3, and they had the ball. They looked pretty good. They forced some fumbles. They forced some turnovers. They ended up losers, 40-21, as Michigan just kind of pulled away and figured some things out. But not the worst showing. Asha O'Hara, he had a couple of bad passes out there, but he looked nice in the shoes of Brent Stockstill. I know he's kind of played a little bit before. It's not completely new to him, but Middle Tennessee, not a terrible showing against the number 7 team in the land, on the road, in the big house, you know, that kind of deal. Texas kind of thoroughly handled Louisiana Tech for a good portion of this game. And, you know, Louisiana Tech never really got into it, scored their 14 points all in the fourth quarter. By then, it was, 38-0? It was pretty much over by then. You know, you can get into moral victories here and say, well, you know, they competed, and if you look closely, it was actually not so bad, and they had them in that third down. And fall. Okay, cool. Louisiana Tech is supposed to be a league contender, and while I don't think that they should go to Austin and beat Texas on the road, number 10 team in the land, you kind of hope for something a little bit better. You know, maybe kind of like Middle Tennessee did, score a couple touchdowns in the first half, only be down a couple and maybe lose it in the second. That's really what you're kind of hoping to see. Be competitive for 2.5 quarters, and then, you know, the depth and whatever, the better coaches kind of separate you. I won't say I'm disappointed, but I'm not impressed. I don't know if you are impressed. It is what it is. Moving on. UTEP, Old Dominion, Southern Miss. Those are the other games on the day. UTEP survived at home against Houston Baptist in front of a fairly large crowd. They were kind of scoring, trading touchdowns throughout this game. Some weird quarter totals, right? Like 11 for Houston Baptist. They ended up with 34 points, 6. UTEP gets a field goal late to win this game, but Houston Baptist had the lead. They were winning late in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, and late in the fourth quarter. UTEP gets a late field goal to win the thing, and I think they intercepted it or picked up a fumble, I forget, down the stretch to kind of seal things. The good news, it was a win. The bad news is that they struggled mightily with Houston Baptist, which I think just like started their program or something like that. Definitely not something, you know, you're super excited about, but a win is a win, which is better than a loss. UTEP is still building their program up. They had some questions at quarterback, right? They had a guy that they didn't really plan on being the lead guy. Lots of moving parts there as they rebuild their program. I think they have a little bit less of an identity than, say, Rice does. But Rice and UTEP are kind of tied. I don't think they have, like, vastly different resources available to them. But, you know, they are tied because they both hired the coaches at the same time. So you can always compare them to each other, much like you compare a UTSA in North Texas, because they both hired their coaches at the same time. Old Dominion. opened their new stadium, right? Big fanfare, I think, with the Virginia Pilots and like all 12 sports reporters there to go cover this game. Norfolk State, they weren't expected to go step for step in this one. They had the lead late. Old Dominion needed to lean on their superior athleticism. I say that with a question mark. But they relied on their run game late to get a late touchdown and seal things. Scored late, just power running down the stretch. I think we saw Stephen Williams at quarterback for a second. It looked like Old Dominion was going to ride the momentum of a new stadium to just kind of run away with things. It was 14-0 in the first quarter. But then Norfolk State had six in the second. Slowly Creek kept in it, stayed close, held Old Dominion here and there. Until, Old Dominion didn't score a touchdown to the fourth quarter again. Crept in it, a couple touchdowns for Norfolk State late. Not super impressive by Old Dominion, but a win at home is a win. And I still think that that staff and that team are still riding high the win over Virginia Tech. And as they should. That really saved the staff and everybody in a very down year last year. But they take on Virginia Tech next week, and I don't see an upset in those cards. Then again, I didn't really see an upset last year either. I don't know. Folks are treated to a thrilling game, I guess. If you're going to be at a new stadium, might as well be treated to a thrilling game, yeah? Southern Miss, again, I didn't watch a lot of this game. It looked like they handled things. Offense didn't really start well. First half, Travinsky Mosley got injured. That's bad. I think he was on a knee brace on the sideline. That's bad for the team's prospects going forward. But head coach had said previously, Jay Hobson, we have depth at running backs. So we're not too concerned. He said this last year at USA Media Days. And then I think a couple guys ended up leaving the program. Mosley really stepped up. Tough loss. He's pretty good. I haven't seen anything about his prognosis right now, but tough. Good win for Southern Miss, though. 38-10. Defense is solid. Offense did what it had to do. Scored a few touchdowns. Done. Right. Taking care of business. What you want. 1-0 on the season. Marshall, same kind of deal. I watched a little bit of this game. It was on Stadium. Not really much to talk about. I think it was like Marshall just kind of handled business. 56-17 winners. I can't really think of anything much to say about it. They did what they're supposed to do against a team that they were overmatched against. I don't even know how to say that right. VMI scored 17. 10 of those were in the fourth quarter. They were out of this game for a while. Good job by Marshall. Marshall's supposed to compete, right? This is an impressive win. When you're looking at the scores here and you don't have time because you were watching all these other games, you were watching Oregon and Auburn, like a normal person and not Conference USA, like a crazy person like we are, you see 56-17. You're like, okay, cool. Marshall's handling business. You're good. Is that right? Is it the right way to do it? No, but it's the headline, right? It gives you, it's satisficing out here. Similarly, I want to talk about this game. Well, let's save UTSA for a second because I got a little bit more to say about it than I do this FAU Ohio State game. This was a premium kind of matchup, right? Lane Kiffin versus Ohio State. 45-21. That made it look better than it was. But this game was over long before that. Ohio State had 28 first quarter points, pretty much just doing whatever they wanted. Against the FAU defense, which looked like they had just started playing football together that day. Huge running lanes where nobody touched the quarterback. Wide open passing lanes where it looks like nobody was prepared for a forward pass. That was pretty terrible. FAU managed 6 points through three quarters, both field goals, and then scored 15 in the fourth through some Robeson heroics. Ohio State is a very good team, and a lot of this can be forgiven because FAU is really not on this level right now, and they lost a lot of their talent that they were relying on. But FAU was still supposed to be a very talented team, and you're hoping that they kind of do something for a little bit. Again, not a good look for the FAU, for Lane Kiffin, or Conference USA, right? It's like you had Reggie Bush on the halftime saying, "Yeah, FAU is bad. They're terrible." That's not what you want. You want, they're surprising. They're hanging in there. They're always going to be tough. You want those kind of cliches, not, wow, they suck. Not good. 2 years in a row getting blown out by really good competition, we must say. We must say that Oklahoma was very good. Ohio State, very good. But still, you don't want that. It's your chance to just kind of impress, right, and not get stomped and laughed out the stadium. Again, UTSA beats Incarnate Word 35-7. That's the kind of score you look at and say, oh, that was good. Maybe you wanted 42, right? It looks like a real beatdown. 35-7. Looks a little bit closer. Three is not bigger than four. This game was all about Frank Harris. And that is important for this league, right? Because he is a talent. He was a guy that both North Texas and UTSA competed for. He's a guy out of Schertz, Clemens, and which is right outside of San Antonio. And it was an example of UTSA's superior recruiting abilities and keeping talented guys home. And they did that. He got injured, right? Last year he was supposed to be the starter. He got injured, and then UTSA had like Cordell Grundy out there and just a rotating cast of characters, none of whom impressed greatly. Also, the offense was just terrible all season. The offensive coordinator basically got demoted right before the season ended. Jeff Castle gets promoted from was it quarterback's coach or something to offensive coordinator. They produced their lone 400-plus yard game against North Texas in that one in the finale. They look good. He keeps the job. Frank Harris gets healthy, and he does Frank Harris type of things. Now, all that said, right, Incarnate Word looked a little bit more competitive in this game defensively than they probably should have, I guess. They were getting to Frank Harris, and they were closing down the passing lanes, but Frank Harris escaped those defenders, and he kept plays alive, and he ran for 100 yards in like the first half. He only threw for like 206, but he extended plays, though they were like very important pass plays, right? The kind of things to move the chains and get them down the field, or get them out of punting real early, and keeping Incarnate Word's offense, pretty potent offense, off the field. For their part, Incarnate Word tried to get real bold and like went for it on fourth down on their first punt from inside their own area. Like they faked it. It didn't really work out for them, but it was, 21-7 or something like that at one point. But again, UTSA did a great job of using Frank Harris to keep Incarnate Word at bay. Now, I think I said this before about UTSA when they had their defensive lineman that was just dominating, and he ended up getting drafted like pretty high. Where did he go? I can't even think of it now. But he won a game or two for them, right? Against Rice, I think, one time, and he almost won the game against like North Texas. He was just like single-handedly sacking dudes. He was very much like Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech last year. These guys at this level can win a game, right? Frank Harris, I don't want to say he's that equivalent. Like, he's not going to go, you know, top 20 in the NFL draft. But for this level, he can be a game changer in that way. You think you have him beat, he extends a play, right? You think you have him sacked, and he gets a first down. Keeps the chains moving. Changes the complexity and the alchemy of the game there. That is great news for UTSA, which is very terrible. And I think the terrible offense over two seasons really demoralized what could have been a pretty solid defense. And this happens, right? It's hard to get excited to go out there and do a very difficult job in modern college football, and that is play defense, when you have no trust in your offense. So knowing you have an exciting guy back there that can make some plays and extend some things and make some things happen makes you excited about getting them the ball back, right? You know, hey, if we can get a stop, we always got a shot because we have so-and-so. And so that was refreshing to see if you're a fan of UTSA and I guess good things happening in Conference USA and talented players being in this league. That is exciting. But overall, beating Incarnate Word, not really impressive, I don't think. Incarnate Word was pretty solid last season. They won like six games, won a share of the conference title. They're going places, but I think Incarnate Word was only underdogs by like 6 points. And I think that has to weigh on you a little bit if you're a UTSA fan. But I think the majority of everybody was talking some mess to the crosstown Incarnate Word private school, kind of center of town. You know, it's good for the game. I think this is what you want. It's good for the city. It's good for both programs. Everybody got a little hyped. Incarnate Word got to play at the Alamo Dome. UTSA got to play somebody that, you know, that boiled their blood a little bit. You know, you can't get super excited about playing, you know, just anybody. Let's say Alcorn State. You can get excited about playing a team nearby. So that's not bad, and I like those kinds of matchups. So that's basically it for this league. I don't think we missed anybody. Again, I didn't watch a whole lot of Alcorn State, Alcorn State and Southern Miss, but I'll try to catch up and see what I can get. Next week, what do we got? Let's look at next week's games. Again, doing some gym rooms type stuff. Yeah, I forgot this Rice game got moved to Friday. Friday, ladies and gentlemen, two Friday games. We got Marshall at Boise State. Huge game. We will see how good Marshall is because Boise State beat, Kendall Briles-led offense of Florida State. They played a hell of a game over there in, it was in Tallahassee, right? In Tallahassee. Boise State's very good. This is an opportunity game. We don't need Marshall to win this one, right, to raise up the prominence of this league, but it sure would be nice if they competed with them. So Marshall, Boise State, Friday, 8 p.m., I think it's Central Time, ESPN2. And then Rice Wake Forest also play Friday, 7 p.m., CBS Sports Network. Seems like Rice is always on CBS Sports Network. Wake Forest, that is that's an interesting game. Wake Forest is the kind of team you can beat, right? And you say, oh, look, I beat an ACC team, you know, the league with the national champion in it. Look at us. And we'll see what's up with Rice and their ability to grind the game away. I think it's very possible. I don't expect them to win, but you can make the argument that Rice has been one of the more impressive teams so far in this one-week-long season. Then we have big game, right, P5 matchup, Virginia Tech, Old Dominion. Old Dominion, again, with a 1-0, one-game winning streak against Virginia Tech, ladies and gentlemen. UAB takes on Akron. I think Akron got beat up pretty bad in the last game. I forget who they played, but I know they lost pretty bad. UAB gets a chance to rectify their situation. That one's on CBS Sports Network. Southern Miss takes on Mississippi State. And I think Mississippi State's pretty terrible this season, right? This is an SEC game that you can put on your resume and say, look, we beat an SEC team, even though the SEC team that you beat is not very good. Southern Miss, Mississippi State, 2:30 p.m. And again, I think this is Central Time. ESPNU. I'm just going to say 2:30 p.m. because it's whatever this thing is telling me right now. ESPNU. NFL Network debut for the league. Louisiana Tech hosting Grambling. That should be fun just for all the reasons that Grambling and Louisiana Tech is going to be fun for. Friend of the show, Corey Diaz, covers both teams, so he'll be there. He gets to do kind of both. NFL Network game, again, at 2:30 in the afternoon. That's going to be like the sweet spot for NFL Network, I think, that 2:30 game. Charlotte, Appalachian State. Look, if you want me to be effusive in my praise for Charlotte, go out and beat Appalachian State, one of the Sun Belt's best, one of the G5's best teams in these last few years. If Charlotte could do something terrible to App State, hey man, this will be a heavily Charlotte following podcast in the next few weeks, guys. UTSA travels up to Waco. Take on Baylor. I don't know. This might be on like Facebook or something like that. 3 p.m. game. you know, there was a time where UTSA fans would get super hyped about this game. I don't know where it falls on their radar right now. But I think UTSA beat Baylor, right? Last time these two met. So, but that was when Baylor was very, very bad, rebuilding season, not very impressive. I think I mentioned that a lot. Now's a chance. Do it again. Frank Harris is we'll see some things, right? Incarnate Word got to him a few times. He made some plays. Now let's see if he can do that against a P5 team. It is a big jump up, right? I thought Frank Harris is very impressive, especially in his first game in something like 3 years, right? Because he injured himself his senior year in high school. He injured himself again his redshirt freshman season. Same kind of deal, right? I'm not expecting fireworks from UTSA, but I'm excited to see what Frank Harris has to offer because he's a talent. Western Kentucky and FIU are our first conference game of the season, ladies and gentlemen. Both teams are going to be wanting to improve on the prior week's terrible outing, right? FIU is still expected to win or be competitive in this division, and beating Western Kentucky is step one on that road. That's what you're kind of saying. Look, Tulane ain't in our conference, ladies and gentlemen. They're, you know, non-conference game, put it behind us, move forward. We got to beat Western Kentucky because they are in our division, they are in our conference, and this is how we get to the conference championship game, right? That's the start of my motivation speech, if I'm Butch Davis, but he would know much better than I would on what to say. North Texas goes to Dallas, that long trip to Dallas, right? And takes on SMU on ESPN3, 6 p.m. This should be fun. The Safeway Bowl. This is the thing where, like, North Texas beat SMU last year. SMU had won the two or three previous. Right now, North Texas has the better team. But you never know, right? Sonny Dykes has a great offensive mind. And you know what's funny is I think that Cal game was scheduled while Sonny Dykes was the coach for North Texas, was a coach of Cal. And now they are facing each other, but now he's a coach of SMU. North Texas should win this one, but I can see it kind of going either way. If you're SMU, you look at that defense and say, well, a lot of young guys, even though they're talented, a lot of young, unproven dudes, we can go out there and score. We got Shane Buechele. He's going to throw some nice touchdowns. But that said, Ben Hicks was a pretty nice quarterback, and I think he moved on. Now he's the quarterback at Arkansas, right, to be with Chad Morris. And then last year, SMU just got whooped. So I don't know what to say. I really don't know what's going to happen in that one. Tennessee State travels to Middle Tennessee State in a game that, you know, I think Middle Tennessee should win fairly handily. I think, does it say that Middle Tennessee is already favored by 7? ESPN3, 6 p.m. for that game. FAU hosts UCF in a very huge, large, important game for Lane Kiffin's pride, I think. CBS Sports Network, Saturday, 6 p.m. for this one. Again, I don't really expect FAU to win this game or even be very competitive. I can see a 20-point blowout pretty easily, but you hope that they put on a better showing in the first half in this one, right? Especially at home. Finally, UTEP travels to Texas Tech in an intriguing game, right? I think this could be a game where UTEP can kind of muck it up, make it ugly for a little bit, and then just proceed to get blown out. I think that's the best case scenario. But a little West Texas showdown. It's nice to see UTEP play like a Texas Tech or somebody else out there. That is the slate of games for next week. We will talk about them. We will write about them. We will overthink them and all that good stuff in the coming days. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the show. There is a membership thing now. If you want to support this podcast, keep it going. Allow us to do some things like hiring some people. But right now, just keep the site running. Hosting costs cost money. So if you want to keep it going and make it, like I said, nobody's getting rich off of this. That's not what it's about. It's about keeping it going. There's an annual membership. There's a monthly membership. Choose the one that's best for you. It's basically like a cup of coffee. So Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. See you next week.